that I really indebted with the Collège d'études mondiales, who gave to me the possibility of making this conference, and especially Olivier Bouin, Sara Guindani, who not only was a part of, say, the head of the institution, but also was a part of the people who helped me in making this this conference, namely Enrico and Angela, and Enrico Terrone and Angela Condello. This was very beautiful for me because, in fact, they have done the most of jobs, so that I'm just here to speak in Paris, which is very beautiful. The second point is that this interest of the Collège d'études mondiales for web is not a single event. It's a part of a research line who involves not only the works we are doing, but, for instance, many other researchers. There is Manuel Castel among the people working in the Collège d'études mondiales. And within, I believe, a couple of months, yes, in fact, a couple of months, there will be, so to speak, not a second part of this conference, because it has nothing to do with this conference, except the subject, which with the well-known openness of French, of France, to foreign language, the title is L'Atoile que nous voulons, which suggests that web is toile. And this conference will be held at Grand Salle du Centre Pompidou between December 14 and December 15. And well, but don't anticipate what will happen. Well, my presentation. This presentation, the mobilized animal, it's not surprising that there is a presentation on the mobilized animal, since the title of this conference is total mobilization. But there could be a legitimate question about who is the mobilized animal, and well, who is the mobilized animal? The idea, here you see two animals. The one is a not mobilized animal. It's also, so to speak, it's also in a situation of, so to speak, a slavage, because he has this visible chain that links the not mobilized animal to his master. And here we see the mobilized animal. The mobilized animal has an invisible chain that links the animal with other animals, but the other animals presumably are mobilized animal too. So what is interesting, this idea of the mobilized animal, is that there is not, I won't say that this is a perverse situation. This is my thesis. This is not a perverse situation, because the most of you can find always in the web images like this, and the discourse implied in this presentation is that this is a kind of slavery. How we became a slave of the web, and so on and so forth. I don't find nothing especially perverse in the fact that this mobilized animal preferred to speak, to write instead of speaking, and to have a relationship with another mobilized animal in absence instead than in presence. There is all this quantity of images that we are shown in the web, in which you see families with all the people looking at their devices, or the two partners, each one looking at the device, are not a sign of perversion, but because is nothing of, there is nothing especially natural or obvious that we speak with someone who is in front of us, instead then we write on an electronic device. What is interesting here is not the moralistic attitude that we can have towards this kind of living, but what we can learn about us and about society from this kind of mobilization. We were aware since many years of the fact that the man is since centuries, there is an animal that has language, or which is rational, which is social. Those are the classical definition of the man. What we discovered about the man, the humanity in the last decades, is that the man is a mobilized animal. This is a new revelation about the man. So that when I say man, because I am old-fashioned but not sexist, of course I'm meaning humanity. So this presentation will be in four parts, but very small four parts, no panic. The first one is alienation. The most of interpretation of the situation of humanity in what is called so obscurely, in fact, the age of technique. Why our age should be the age of technique, since there is technique from here. I have this old book, old not only in its original, in his translation, on the prehistory of Le Roi Gouran. He speaks about our ancestors, our very, very ancient ancestors. The history about which speaks Le Roi Gouran is a history of technique. He speaks about technique, so that there is nothing special of technicity in our epoch instead than in other epoch. The hypothesis, the prevalent hypothesis, that we are in the age of technique, and this age of technique is a form of alienation of human nature, which exists independently from technique. I will criticize this hypothesis, and I will defend an alternative hypothesis, namely that the technique is the condition of possibility of humanity. What makes the difference from the mobilized animal and the not mobilized animal is the fact that the mobilized, the not mobilized animal has no dresses, no smartphone, no hats, no shoes, and so on and so forth. Technique is a part of what we are, and since technique is a part of what we are, technique is a revelation of what we are, not an alienation of what we are. And this transforms partly what we can say about the web, because there is no matter of saying web is a perversion of human nature. Maybe human nature is perverted, intrinsically perverted, but what the web does is only the revelation of this intrinsic intrinsic nature, not a deformation of this intrinsic nature. And the way in which the web make this revelation is the way of an emergence and not a construction. Mostly the way of understand our relationship with technology is often a way of saying there is a construction, and this is a part of the ideology of alienation. There is somewhere a big brother who is a bad brother who decide with a planification and a construction of making some alienating acts against humanity. I don't believe it so. What is very clear with the web is that the web is a form of an emergence and not construction. With emergence, I mean that invented the web was not at all aware of the consequences of the web, of the purposes of the web, or what the web will do and will want. There was only the idea of make a kind of Leibnizian academy in which there was researchers communicating each other's scientific discoveries, and not what happened with the web. And what the web became is a part is dependent from the web and not from the decision of some constructors. And the last point is revolution. I won't say that web is a revolution. It's completely banal to say that the standard syntax of the informatic revolution. It's banal to say that this is a revolution. Maybe it's more interesting to wonder something like, to thematize something like, what is the kind of revolution, of Copernican revolution, we can do with the web, namely, if this hypothesis, the hypothesis of revelation and emergence, are true, could we use the web as a way of detecting the true characters of human nature? And in this sense, it's really a Copernican revolution, because instead of imagining that there is a human intentionality that works in the construction of social reality and then in constructing the world, we have to imagine that there is a technique who constructs what we are. We are a result of the technique. And this makes it so that we can understand what we are if we look at the device we use. Alienation. In the hypothesis of alienation still remain this idea of Rousseau. You remember, I suppose, man is born free and everywhere is in chains. How did this change come about? I don't know. There is a slight problem in this fact. I don't know. I say someone comes and say the man is born free, but it is everywhere in chains. Why? I don't know. Why exactly? Many critics of this perspective suggested that maybe the starting point of Rousseau was wrong, namely, man is not born free. But the idea that the man is born free is at the basis, the true basis of the idea that technology is an alienation. and supposes three main points about the human nature that are usually supposed, presupposed in the criticism of the act of technique on human nature, who are highly contestable. There are the three presuppositions about what human are. The first one is the autonomy, the fact that we are the constructors of our will and of our human law. For instance, this is typical Kant, the Kantian point of view. We are the constructor of a moral law, and then we are the executors of this moral law. The intentionality. There is a kind of intentionality which is intrinsic in human humanity, and this is also at the basis of the construction of social reality. Tomorrow, Professor Searle will speak about maybe. We will also make a reference to his social theory, and in the social theory of John Searle, as of many other philosophers, social ontologists, the social reality is the result of a collective intentionality, who is something which is intrinsic to humanity, and then the meaning. We are the constructors of our own meaning. Of course, if we suppose that humanity is something autonomous with intentionality and with intrinsic meaning, it becomes very obvious that technology is an alienation. Because seemingly the technology reduces the autonomy, transforms the intentionality, adds other meaning to our activities. But what is problematic is precisely this hypothesis, this starting hypothesis. The hypothesis of alienation is a hypothesis based on an anthropology which is highly contestable. And this kind of anthropology, what you see here, is the set of assumptions that usually are the basis of the criticism towards technology. When you read in a newspaper or in the web some commentaries on the people that are deformated by the technique, the people always at the phone, cell phone, etc., the hypothesis is that the human as such as three main characters. I skip in order to be. The alternative hypothesis is the hypothesis of revelation. The revelation is the idea that the mobilization brought about the web is not alienation but a revelation. It manifests emergence character of both human beings and social reality. I mean, it's interesting, there was not an as such, an hidden as such, which is alienated by technology. There is the emergence and the revelation of something which was not existing before every single technology, but is revealed by the technology. This could be also something of accidental. I mean, there is not an intrinsic necessity that makes that people invent the wheel, for instance, because we know that there are people without a will, not will in conscious sense, but will in a Freudian sense, so to speak. So there was not a gigantic destiny hidden in the discovery of the wheel. Nonetheless, the wheel reveals some aspects of humanity that are not an alienation, but what we are. The fact that people likes to use the wheel since the very childhood, then until the end of its life, usually peoples like the wheel. We have also wheels in this church, for instance. So there is wheels everywhere, except in the places in which people have not invented the wheel. So there was not an intrinsic. And what is showed by this revelation is something which is typical of human nature and is often hidden in human nature, namely the submission. Rousseau was saying that man is born free, but the evidence we have is that the mobilized animal is a submitted animal, no less submitted than the other animal not mobilized. And of course, even more because it's seemingly the submission of the mobilized animal is a voluntary submission. We have many evidence on the fact that the other animal is not necessarily. The way in which this submission is created is by the creation of responsibility. This is, in my sense, very important because in order to create, very practically, what is the way in which the web, for instance, submit us? Creating responsible animals. If you are responsible, then you are a potentially submitted subject, and in the same time you are a moral subject. So the paradox is that the principle of moral independence, namely the responsibility, is based on the same principle that creates the submission. And the reason why the web is so efficient on submission purposes is the fact that the web is the maximum source of recording. It's a gigantic structure of recording. Each act is recorded and inscribed somewhere in the web, and as a result, every kind of every recorded act means that we are responsible to what we receive from the web, and then we are submitted. In order to make it clear, there is sometimes a naive view on the web that is purely, so to speak, morphological. Computer are have a screen like TV, so that the web is a kind of of TV. There is a gigantic difference between the web and the TV, namely the fact that if you watch at the TV, the people speaking at the TV are not speaking to you exactly. You don't think that who speaks at the TV is directly speaking to you, except you are the President Schreiber or a paranoid. Usually what you watch at the TV, you are not supposing that they are talking to you. But if you are watching to a screen of the web, they're really talking to you. The most of time are really talking to you, are writing to you, are asking to you something, and they know that they are directed to you, especially because, for instance, they often are aware if you have read the message or not, so that you have this extreme responsibility that you have to answer, especially you have to answer this. The main problem of our epoch, in order to make a statement vague but true in a sense, is the increasing responsibility we have because of the recording, since we receive messages that are directed to us and that are especially direct, yes, I don't repeat. When you read a message on your mobile phone, then the message is to you. When you watch at the TV, the message is not to you. When you watch at the TV, you have not to answer. When you look in the middle of night to your cell phone, and then you discover that someone wrote to you, then you can have the bad idea of answering to these people. And if you are asleep or not especially lucid, then you can answer something completely stupid, and nonetheless you will be taken as responsible of what we have done. This is the reason why the web is so mobilizing with us, so much more mobilizing than other. The submission. The submission is that if the web has this feature, then it's very clear to see how the web is is able to create dependence, to produce normativity, to develop a natural bureaucracy, a spontaneous bureaucracy. All these kind of features of the web are revealing this so to speak, this typical human dependence. And as for the responsibility, the submission, the human submission, anthropologists and good sense and common sense suggest that the reason why we are dependent is because the humans became independent very late in comparison to other kind of animals, and what is called the neoteny of the human nature, the fact that much more than other animal kinds, we are animal that develops very late in our life. Well, the web is something which is very useful in order to improve a human neoteny, because this necessity of answer to is the main necessity of the web. What are you doing when you are on the web? You are answering to someone. And in this sense, the form of dependence created, revealed by the web, is typically based on this structure of the answer to, which is which finds its condition of possibility in the recording. You have to answer to because the answer is directed to you and is recorded. If There was, imagine an amnesic web, a miraculous amnesic web in which you in fact receive the message, but then the message suddenly disappears. This is, you know that sometimes have been invented the messages that disappear, but usually they don't disappear and they remain on your computer you have to answer to. And the structure of the answer to is the main structure of the mobilizing power of the web, and from the answer to can develop some higher form of responsibility, namely the answer for, to be responsible of something. But the two structures that are rooted in the human neoteny are implemented by the web. And this especially because the web is mainly recording. This if you want, the main ontological thesis of this presentation. Someone asked you TST about the web. What is the web? And the answer is recording. Of course, it's not only the single way of recording exists in the world, but is recording. And this is something which appears more and more clear, even though in many cases you still see that the web is considered as a way of communication, and even the branch in which is classified the web is usually considered the ICT, information and communication technology, which in fact is not the real nature of web, is recording. If you exclude the recording from the web, then you are not able to explain the power that web exerts. So its mobilizing power derives from the spontaneous construction of social objects, of a responsibility, of that's intrinsic to the web. I see that now is 10:40, no, 10:35, and I will not. There will a second and a third and a fourth part of my presentation, but I will not be tricky. The most important part is this one. I will not create a sublime effect saying that then you can imagine how beautiful was the rest. I will just go very fast in order to show what is what emerge in the web. So the form of emerging of the web is intrinsically very interesting also for people studies the society or the history or the paleontology. Even for the paleontologists the web is very interesting. Why? Because it's a form of emerging can be compared to the emergence of fire, of working the stones, which is the main concern of Leroy Gourin, like the writing. And but what is very relevant with the web is that his history is extremely short and extremely visible, so that the evolution of the web shows in less than 30 years a kind of evolution that, for instance, for writing took 4 or 5 millennia, and for the fire, who knows? And this is the reason why it is ridiculous in a sense that when the web appeared, then people were speaking about the web as virtual. First, the web is not virtual at all, it's a form of hyper reality. And secondly, what is really interesting is that the web showed to us stage of developing of technique and characters of human nature that than in other fields, for instance, the writing on the fire cannot be detected, at least cannot be detected so easily. If we understand that the web is not simply a way of communication, but is this kind of recording and construction of social reality, that in this sense, I would suggest that the web, since the main effect of the web is that every single event on the web is recorded, then the web is the spontaneous producer of documents, is a real matrix that creates documentality. And since the documents are the most mobilizing reality existing in the world, why? Because if you receive an order, this order is a document that mobilizes you. If someone gives you 5 euros, for instance, this is a document that can mobilize, for instance, with a document of 1 euro and 20 cents, I can mobilize someone in a bar and receive a coffee, for instance. This kind of mobilization of the intentionality is produced by documents, and this gigantic producer of a document, which is the web, is the gigantic field of mobilization. No one projected this emerging. Of course, there was someone in the Apple factory who projected this kind of chain that I have here, but the fact that someone like the web could become a chain for people was not projected by someone, was a character, an intrinsic character of the web. Then, excuse me, I go. Is this, should we remain a slave of the web, which is a very obscure expression, but each time on the public discourse, especially on the newspaper about the web, is we are a slave of the web. It's very obscure to understand how, in which kind we are slave of the web, or especially slave of the web instead of being slave of about the food. We are dependent from the food, or we are a slave about the humanity because we need other people and we need that they acknowledge ourselves and so on and so forth. And there is a way of understand what we are. With this, what I suggested, this Copernican revolution from the technology to what we are. And this kind of revolution also shows that, so to speak, we are always able to free ourselves from, so to speak, the chain we have. But we have to be aware of the fact that those chains are constitutive of what we are. To go to the conclusion of this reference to the revolution, I find it that conservatory thinkers are usually much more wise about the real nature of human of humanity than progressive thinkers. De Maistre is much more wise than Rousseau because he's aware of the fact that the humanity is constitutively, in a sense, I will not say bad, but submitted. But the conservative thinkers find it some from this the conclusion that the human should be submitted. This is not a legitimate conclusion. From the fact that the humanity is submitted, we cannot derive that humanity should be submitted, of course. And the example of Webb, which is something that is a way of submission, but in the same time is a way of freedom. We should be aware of this point and try to find the best way of freedom that comes from the Webb. But if we think that the Webb as such is freedom, which was the dominant ideology of the Webb since not many times at all. I remember when 3 or 4 years ago there was a proposal of giving the Nobel Prize for the Peace to the Webb, which is ridiculous. Give the Nobel Prize for the Peace to the drones in this case. But if we are aware that this ideological representation is false, then we can be able to understand how to free yourself with the Webb. Thank you very much.
I'd love to hear more about revelation. In the sense that it's clear that technology makes us discover something about ourselves in many occasions. Many occasions, because you simply discover that you can do things that you couldn't do before. But then you have a stronger claim here, is that technology makes you discover something about your nature, which could be said about social networks, maybe. We didn't know how much we like to be constantly in connection with people. But of course, there is a factual point here to be made. So are we really making this discovery? That is, are we really discovering that we like to be in contact with other people so much in so many occasions in our life? Or it's not really the same thing as before, so it's not really being in contact. Are we using the right words for describing this change? So if you want to assess a revelation, you have to first make sure that your factual description of the situation is appropriate. And then the second point is related to a feedback loop with design in this and in other cases. Of course, technology is a very Darwinian process, as it is usually described. You're throwing new apps or whatever into the market, and some of those survive. Probably those survive that reveal something about ourselves, maybe. But there is also an element of design. It's not a completely Darwinian process. I mean, some people would like to describe it as Darwinian, but it's obviously very much Lamarckian, in the sense that you have a lot of constraints to satisfy in the design process. So maybe we discover at some point in 2004 that we were really interested in being dependent from each other through technology, but maybe there was a design element behind it. So it's not just an emergence of a revelation in the sense. So there are two senses in which I would like to weaken the notion of revelation that you're using here. I'm happy with it, but would like to hear more about that.
Yes, I admit that revelation is a vague notion, no more vague, no less vague than alienation, and its goal is to be a guide to read technology instead of the hypothesis of alienation, which is till now the most diffused way, and is something that renders us blind about the nature of technology. With this, I am completely agree with you that this notion should be weakened in the way you said, and also refined. And this is a huge work in order to refine what is revelation. For instance, there is something which is typically of the web, which is intrinsically a character, a revelation of the web, because if the basis of your point was the web shows how we like to speak each other, but in fact since the man was considered zoon logon echon, an animal, a social animal, then what is the object of the discovery? The case of mobilized animal is slightly different, because since we were in, so to speak, a Fordistic universe, the reason why people were mobilized could be interpreted as utilitarian reasons. People are mobilized, go to the factory, because they need money, and they need money in order to survive. Classical explanation. But when you find someone who answer at night to a question and produces, for instance, wealth to the owner of the social network, then this one is mobilized, works, there is a way in which he works, which is consistently, is not, to me, is not just an hyperbole of communication. It's that you are really working without any practical advantage. And this is something which is new, was not previewed, because one can say, well, suppose that you are an employee, you go home, then the origin, if you are not at office, you have not to work. Now you have to work everywhere, and you accept it. The most of humanity, I find it very important to create a form of resistance, form of education, which is your suggestion, and I perfectly agree, but this form of resistance and education should start, in my view at least, from the hypothesis of revelation and not of the alienation.
Hello, I'd like to suggest that maybe instead of responsibility, we could think of responsibility. And this means a lot, because maybe we need to develop new abilities to this kind of response that the web is asking us to give. And this implies literacy regarding responding. And maybe this is the way of freedom in this situation, can be one way to think on this ability to respond. And another thing I'd like to ask is about the right to forget, because if you are talking about documentation, if you are talking about the recording profile that has is in the nature of the web, what is our possibility to develop really deeper the right to forget that is kind of blurring yet?
The 2 points, the responsibility and the right to forget, which are very important, show us a need of education of human of humans that is not, I would say, is not simply a question of the web. Imagine when people discovered that the ships should be progressed with the use of humans in jail, in fact, that makes it the ship works. And this was considered as normal for centuries. Then someone considered that was not such a good idea to make ships that implies the use of slaves. In a sense, the web, the contemporary web, is a ship in which it is considered as normal to use slaves in the ship. And this depends from the fact that the humans are much more disposed to slavery than we suppose. Yes, I am sure that within a couple of centuries, the web will be much more human than today, and we will be developed the responsibility, right to forget, etc. Now is more close to the ship with a human propulsion.
Well, I agree with what you have said about the conjunction between answering two and answering four, and about the web as regarding us. But there is a more difficult point. The web is also forgetting us. And for example, we are disappearing in Google search, and I don't feel quite confident in the impact factor against this point. So another example, writers are writing on websites, and the websites are writing on will disappear when they are dead if the heirs don't pay the fees. So I think there is quite a difficult point for your hypothesis of documentality. I would like to know how you can take this part of the web into account in your hypothesis.
I'm not sure to have understood what is the problem with documentality is in the oblivion. I'm sorry.
Well, in my point of view, the web is not only recording what we are doing, uh-huh. but there are mechanical devices by which we are forgetting into the web. For example, writers, on the website, sometimes her books are not published, and what about her website after our death? This is a difficult point, because web is not only recording us, it is always forgetting us, and not forgetting what we want to be forgetted, but forgetting what we want to be recorded.
Yes, but this hypothesis that you suggest is perfectly true what you say, but I would say that the web is mostly recording and accidentally forgetting. And another way in which the web can produce
forgetting could be the excess of recording also, for instance. If you have a gigantic quantity of recording, then you will more able to forget, and because the human mind is a finite entity and the web not. These are completely true, but inscribed in the hypothesis of the web as a recording.
Actually, it's a very short comment, spurred by your presentation, of course. You present the web as, in a sense, as a given. It's the web, and as a sort of a natural fact, it's there. And actually, as a technical person, as a computer scientist, I'm fully aware that the web, of course, is actually shaped and designed. And as Roberto Casati mentioned, is also constantly evolving. And the comment is that not only is evolving in the sense that we as users are picking one app and ignoring other apps, but also the framework itself of what we call the web is evolving. And the framework depends on laws, on technical standards, and powerful economic forces. Now, maybe it's a comment that is good to make right at the beginning, because I think that we have to take that into consideration, and also not to despair that we have some agency. Actually, we have some agency as users that use one app and not another, and also we banned apps to do things that were not foreseen. As technical users, we can also create our own software and infrastructure. Of course, it's a limited part of the population, and as citizens, we have at least in theory the potential to influence the framework itself, so deal with the laws and deal with the economic forces.
I'm sorry if I presented the web as a matter of fact, as a nature. I am aware that there are people like you, for instance, behind the web, and I'm perfectly happy that you and not others are behind the web, that suppose that there is an action of who is behind the web on what the web is. But my only concern was that if, like at the beginning of the web, we consider the web as freedom as such, as collective intelligence, as a peace, and so on and so forth, then people who are behind the web, and also people who are this side of the web, will be without weapons in order to act in the web. And for instance, for many years, the only ethical issue about the web was about the privacy. The only evident concern about the web was the privacy. We have to add to this kind of concern also other kind, for instance, the defense of the workers on the web, what is a worker on the web, what is also the maximum of answers you can ask on the web. This is not as necessarily so silly as an ethical concern.
Thank you, Maurizio.